Welcome to Tastes of the Tropics. And now, here are your hosts, Gretchen Schmidt and Christina Favretto.
Welcome to Tastes of the Tropics. This is Gretchen Schmidt, along with Christina Favretto. And we're here today at Aragon 101 in downtown Coral Gables. It's a lovely housewares and cookware store with Erica Guzman and a very special guest. And we're going to let you introduce our special guest, Erica, because you ate at his restaurant, which is located about, I don't know, about four blocks from here. Tell us that story.
It actually would be my 12th birthday. My parents had asked me, where do you want to go eat? What is your favorite restaurant in the gate? And I was like, oh, of course, my favorite restaurant. We went to Norman Van Aken's restaurant on Almania.
And what did
that
you have?
That would be 22 years ago, I think. Yeah.
Do you remember what you had to eat?
Oh, God, no.
She was 12.
I know.
And with that, we're introducing Norman Van Aken, who is now we have many restaurants to talk about, lots of stuff to talk about, and his wife Janet. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you, Gretchen.
Thank you.
And we're so happy to see you here. In this issue of Edible South Florida, our road trip writer Ann Schmidt is talked about Mount Dora, which is about a four-hour drive from Miami here, and you've opened up a restaurant called 1921.
Yep.
Tell us about it.
About 3 years ago, Janet and I accepted an invitation to come up to Mount Dora to help with a charity event at the behest of Heather McPherson, the longtime editor of the Orlando Sentinel and friend, and it was for the library, as I remember, and we were just smitten with the town, and she said, there's a gentleman who lives across the street from where we have you staying, who is a world-class barbecue guy, and he's invited you to come and have barbecue at his place if you'd be so inclined. And I know Janet's love for barbecue is bigger than mine, possibly. And so we said, yeah, sure, we'll do that. You know, world championship barbecue guy, we'll make that happen. And so we did, and we had an amazing conversation. And the next day, he got us in the truck and drove us around Mount Dora and showed us the farms and the kind of rolling nature of the topography there and the beautiful little town that it is. And it was that, you know. But then I came to find out that he and his partners loved dining at Norman's at the Ritz-Carlton, which has been there for now almost 14 years. And they loved my food. And then one day they said, you know, would you consider coming to Mount Dora to do a project with us? And I said, let's take a look. And so we went back to Mount Dora and they showed us the project. And it's, they showed us more about not only the town, but them, these people, the very extraordinary folks. They own, operate the Modernism Museum, which is just across the street from where the restaurant is located. And Ken Mazik, the main person behind that energy, along with his wife, Donna Brown, not only are world-class art collectors, I must say, they just purchased the majority of the David Bowie collection, which will be soon.
Wow, that's where it went.
There we go. They did, and but they also, they are amazing wine collectors, art collectors, car collectors. They're really interesting people, deeply involved with the culture. And then there was this little town, and you know, it struck us like Key West kind of did back in the ancient days when we first came to Florida from Illinois. And something about the tranquility of that little town turns out to be a very nice juxtaposition between the energy that we're seeing in Miami.
So, and you have many connections with small towns. I've read your books and know that you respond differently in a small town culinarily.
Yeah.
Do your recipes start, you know, responding to the modernist, to the art that you're seeing, but also the small townness of it? What changes in how you cook and how you approach your
interesting
dishes?
Question. Thank you, Christina. Sort of a few missions going on. I decided right about the same time that we took on the 1921 project in Mount Dora to write another book. After having completed my Key West kitchen, I wanted to do something that showed the entire scope of Florida. So, you know, we've been involved in Central Florida for a while vis-a-vis the Ritz. and Norman's, but Norman's is really a, you know, kind of like, very much like the Coral Gables restaurant dishes. Very Miami in a way, because we basically transferred that, made it, you know, the greatest hits, the signature dishes. By doing 1921, I wanted to not divorce myself from those dishes, but I wanted to show other dishes, and I wanted to try and show people what modern day Florida is about. And that's what the scope of the book is that's coming out in September. So we wanted to get more Southern in our mix. You know, we still have the Latin and the Caribbean and Asian elements of New World cuisine, but purposefully moved it more toward a Southern vibe. And that small town that Mount Ora is, works perfectly with that, we think. And the reception's been really wonderful. We were just named Restaurant of the Year by Orlando Magazine, which is pretty unique because we're 40 minutes away from Orlando. So we're very psyched about that.
And you've got a lot of local stuff on the menu, too, that I see.
Mount Ora?
Yep.
Sure. We were already closely associated with a gentleman who has Over the Hill Farms, and we're Chef Camillo is over there at least once a week picking and harvesting. We got fabulous fish purveyors that we never knew down here before that are delivering to us from day boats. So all of that's going on. And that's, we talk about farm to table, but farm to table has been our thing since the beginning of time. I mean, since Amano days, back when I was before that, when I was at Mira in Key West. I mean, we did things like that because we're from farm country, Illinois. You have that in your DNA. I'm glad that it's gotten a lot more talked about and people are conscious of what it means to do that and support that. But it makes easy sense there in Mount Ora because you're right, the farms are right there.
So what kind of vegetables are you experimenting with now, creating new recipes? Because I'm sure that's slightly different up there.
Different. We definitely have the great corn.
The Zellwood corn.
Oh my God, this stuff is like, it's like candy. It's so incredible. You don't have to cook it. If you just kind of show it to the boiling water is really all you need to do. So that's one. But this man at Over the Hill, he does, you know, strawberries and little beautiful en brunch tomatoes and beets and greens and all this good stuff.
I just saw a story a couple days ago about Zellwood sweet corn, one of the farmers who's growing the super sweet variety, mm-hmm. I guess, mm-hmm. pondering whether he can keep it up.
Yeah, there's challenges, I know, about that. And it, like anything else in Florida, the population continues to grow and farmland becomes looked at by developers with an eager eye. So we got to hope.
Some of the seafood that you mentioned coming from day boats, mm-hmm. any Florida-specific varieties you want to talk about?
Barrelfish, rudderfish, I mean golden tilefish. We do use snapper and grouper, but we almost don't use it often because we're trying to use more the bycatch and fish that need more promotion and give the fishermen more wherewithal to survive because of, you know, you need diversities to survive.
Uh-huh. What about lionfish?
Yeah.
Somebody in the Keys, I know you're familiar with what's going on there. On the
lionfish
menu.
Was part of our opening menu. We did a ceviche with that. People loved it. They don't even know the story about it all the way up there as much as we do down here, I don't think. But, you know, taste is a major convincer.
That's good. Now, the space, what this building looks like, talk about that, because this is a departure from... hotel.
Well, a big departure from big hotel. But when I saw the space and Jenna, I looked at it, I felt there were elements of it that reminded us of Louis's backyard, minus the ocean, which is a big minus, mm-hmm. but not far from it. I mean, you can see the lake right there shimmering below the hill. So Louis's backyard was built 1908, and this building was built in 1921.
And that's in Key West.
Key West, yeah. And then this building was built in 1921 and originally as a kind of a nursing facility for unwed mothers back in that time.
And was it so a lot of work to
bring it? Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it was like curating an old building, which a lot of my friends, my buddies in Key West were, you know, they weren't cooks with me. They were carpenters and painters and stuff. So I was familiar with it in that way, but it was right down to the dirt when we started. Mm. And when people go, and I hope they will, they'll see the most magnificent art in a restaurant that you would see anywhere outside of maybe New York City, and, you know, incomparable to that.
What kind of art?
Ken and Donna are primarily a collectors of American artists in various forms, in particularly wood and metal. We're doing an exhibit any day now, in a few weeks, with George Whipple, who is a Florida-based artist. But there's another gentleman named Nakashima, who is a principal artist, that his woodwork exists there, both in some of our tables and our benches. People aren't realizing they're sitting on a bench that could cost $40,000-$50,000. A bench, yeah. Wendell Castle is another artist that we have a lot of stuff of his. But as you move from room to room, they have a very different feeling as you experience the restaurant.
So does the food on the plate sometimes mirror, do you find yourself getting inspired and making a beautiful little piece of art on a plate?
Yeah, the night we're doing with Whipple coming up, there's been a back and forth conversation with our chef de cuisine, Camilla Velasco, working with them, George Whipple, and looking at art and trying to figure out how this can be transposed to the plate, okay. Which we love doing stuff like that.
Well, that's sort of a nice segue into your another project that you're involved in, Wynwood, which is now our street art district, and it's, my goodness, every day it's become bigger and bigger. Tell us about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we came up from a big project at Key West, and I got hired by Miami-Dade College to be the chef of the restaurant Tuyo a few years back, 5 years back or so. And it reignited my passion for cooking and teaching. I saw it more often by doing the classes that I was doing at Tuyo, which I did the classes for, not for the students. I wasn't, you know, the professor of like that. I was for corporate groups that would come and be there on that third floor. And I saw, you know, just the fire that people had for learning. And I thought, man, I want to do a cooking school. I don't want to be involved with it being, you know, big endeavor like that with all of the, you know, all the people around you. They have to make so many different decisions. I want to do it like I do restaurants. I want it to be just a small, intense group. So I saw an article in the Miami Herald, and this kind of has happened a few times in my life where I kind of had a premonition of what was going on. And I said, you know, this person is somebody that I think is a door here. And I contacted a developer named Avra Jane from The Vagabond. And she was very keen on the idea of me doing a school at the property. She introduced me to a person that she had business relationships with, Candace Walsh. And upon meeting Candace, we just hit it off and just like, wow, we are on the same page. But as we went down the road with that project there on Biscayne, permitting turned into just delay after delay after delay. But that turned out to be a fortunate problem, because then we'd said, you know what, this isn't working. Avra was very kind in the way she handled that. We then met these people in Wynwood at the Wynwood Arcade, and the opportunity now expanded from doing the cooking school, which is called In the Kitchen with Norman Van Aken. And now we have a restaurant that'll be a fine dining restaurant that'll be immediately adjacent to it. There, the Wynwood Arcade, it'll be called Three. And then upstairs there's a roof deck lounge that will accommodate 100 people who will be able to sit out there underneath the awnings and look out at the stars and the life of Wynwood buzzing below them. Mm-hmm. So this is all happening now, and we should be open in August or so.
So run us through a typical menu, just a meal that you'd have at that restaurant this week.
At where?
Say it was this week.
Three?
The restaurant, yeah.
Oh my goodness! Yesterday we hired our chef de cuisine, so there will be some, you know, intense dialogue, research and development that goes along there. I have been writing the menu for sure, but I also want to do things that are both, you know, some of the dishes that people will probably remember and miss, mm-hmm. maybe from their 12th birthday party, and then things that we haven't done before. It'll be a different program where, it's a little bit more jazzy. I've broken the menu into five what I'm calling stanzas, mm-hmm. because it's not appetizer, entree, or salad, dessert. It's not structured as much as that. It's, you know, it's more of a way to, I don't know. People will tell me what it is, I guess. You know, that's the way I found it out, how it works sometimes. You think of something, you create something, and then people tell you how they react to it. Wish I would have had a copy of the menu with me right now.
But it's freeform jazz then, right?
Yeah. You know, it will not be a replication of what we did in Coral Gables. It won't be a replication of any of those things. But the DNA is there. I mean, I sometimes say, if you look at the original version of Steamboat Willie, Mickey Mouse, you still see, you know, the same kind of ideas there. The chef that we've hired has a strong love of our Miami heritage. He's not Cuban born, his parents are Cuban born, but Cuban family and raised here, and he struck us as the right person because of his love of Latin flavors. But Latin flavors, Caribbean flavors, Asian flavors, New World cuisine was the broad term I gave it for a purpose, which is that I don't want to be boxed in. There'll be elements from the new cookbook, and there'll be elements of things I'm just thinking about today. I don't know. I can't really hone in much more than that right now.
Well, Wynwood as a dining destination, you know, Wynwood as any kind of destination right now is still in its infancy, even though it's exploded. Mm-hmm. I mean, its color, it's lots of tourists because mm-hmm. there's really not, you know, not really a residential area
right.
there.
Right.
But golly, there's going to be the hummus place. Mike Solomonoff's coming down with that's going to be opening up at some point
you've got
this summer.
Bread, you've got
Zach Jasmine, the baker has done his own, you know, great job with his deli and of course his bakery.
Wonderful family. We went over there and had lunch not long ago and got to meet mom and dad, and they were beautiful people too. Yeah, and Q is another restaurant there, and of course Alter is there.
Right. Alter. So you've got a little bit of everything there, you know, and so how are you seeking with three? Are you going to sort of feel out what's needed there, or kind of jump in and?
You know, I've never been about what is the trend or what is the concept. To me, it's like I do what I do, and I hope people love it. You know, so it's been that way since Louis' backyard days. Partner Candace and our other partner Susan are very well-traveled people. We've been to Paris and Bordeaux with Candace recently, and we've dined at places that we go, this has the feeling that we love. Or we've been to New York. Susan's been an operator in New York for many, many years. And so I don't know that there's anything that would say it's gonna be like this or like that. I just think that Miami continues to really need to have restaurants that resonate with what is Miami, as opposed to be an out-of-town restaurant that is planted here now because the economics are really good or something. You know, they got a restaurant and, you know, whatever. I don't want to name cities. It might sound like I'm picking out a restaurant. But, you know, they come from elsewhere and they have no idea, you know, what is the stuff that is makes us the particular place that we are from a food history standpoint and from the things that we're growing.
Well, you definitely have a true love. It permeates everything you write about and say in your dishes, to the natural ingredients, the beautiful fruits, the vegetables, the fish. And I think you're right. I think people need to really look regionally and also look back at some of the cracker cuisine, you know, from days of yore that's being neglected, and bring back some of the hominy and grits dishes.
Yeah. No doubt about it. And I feel like many of the restaurants are just missing the opportunity to plumb the beauty of South Florida, and that's okay. Do your thing. We're going to do our thing, and what we'll continue to do is look to ways to put Florida on the plate.
And on that note, you've got a lot going on here, so let's recap here. Somebody's so busy, we're grateful for the time you spent with us today. So we have right now Mount Dora, Florida, 1921. We've, of course, Norman's Orlando, And then the Wynwood Project is going to happen?
Well, I'd say August. It's called Three. Mm-hmm. The restaurant's called Three because there's three parts to it. The restaurant, the lounge, and then the cooking school.
Okay. And the book that's coming out, name of the book?
Norman Van Aken's Florida Kitchen, University Press of Florida. And it will be out in September.
Perfect. Erica Guzman of Aragon 101, we thank you so much for sharing your birthday party. And you're located here at 101 Aragon in Coral Gables.
Oh, I'm in love with this space, and I'm going to go steal a couple of books before I leave.
We'll keep your eyes on you.
Keep your eyes on me. I won't steal, I promise.
Christina Fabretto, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Janet Van Aken, thanks for being part of our podcast today. This is Gretchen Schmidt with Edible South Florida, and you've been listening to Taste of the Tropics.
Thanks for listening to Tastes of the Tropics with Gretchen Schmidt and Christina Favretto on Edible Radio. For more information, visit ediblecommunities.com. This podcast is a production of Edible Radio, all rights reserved.